Father God, thank you for your word. I thank you for this day. Together we come together in your house to learn from you. And so I pray for the revelation to come today of just the power that it is to realize that we're redeemed by you, Lord. And we thank you for all that you've done, all that you continue to do, and all that you will do. Lord, we lift up the women that are on the women's retreat right now. Just pray for an anointing and a blessing for them and safe travels home today. But God, that you would move on all of them and in all of them, drawing them closer to you and closer together. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, one more thing is the table of grace for all you ladies that are here. They're having a table of grace today after service. You're welcome to come. There'll be food and fellowship and fun. That's one report I always get, is it's fun. So the title of the message for today is The Power of Redemption. And we'll be in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 14. Last week, we began the passionate letter to the Ephesians. Paul, possibly the greatest evangelist besides Jesus, writes this emotional masterpiece of doctrine, that's belief, theology, that's the study of God, doxology, that's praise, and practical application, that's wisdom. Paul seems to be ecstatic as he writes, and you got to remember, homeboy's on house arrest. Life is not looking good in the natural for him at all, and yet he's just blasting with excitement because he is locked in to living a spirit-filled life, and these words are pouring out onto the page from his pen, directed by the Holy Spirit. He is on fire, you guys, and he's arrested. So keep that in mind when things go wrong in your life. You can still have faith. You can still praise God. He writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Praise to God. Why? Well, because God has blessed us, the sinner, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms that belongs to Christ. Paul has a revelation. My life might suck right now here on earth, but praise be to God because of the eternal gift of salvation and an inheritance that I receive from Jesus. We are heirs and we are chosen, predestined for adoption into the family of God before anything that was made was made. We were predetermined by God to be his before anything. This is all in accordance with his pleasure and will. And you'll hear that word "in accordance" a lot in this letter. And let me give you an example. When he says that he gives in accordance out of his riches, if a billionaire gives you 10 bucks, he's giving you out of his riches. He's giving you part out of his riches. If he gives you a million, he's giving you in accordance of his riches. So God, who's infinitely, infinitely wealthy in everything because he made everything that was made, he's infinitely wealthy with these spiritual blessings, is giving to us in accordance of them. He's not giving us out of it. He's not piecemealing us. He is pouring out his blessings on us. This is amazing grace, church. We continue today in the emphatic emotion of the Holy Scriptures. Get ready to receive a blessing through revelation of truth. We are loved by God. Thank you, Jesus. So let's start in verse 7 of chapter 1. Excuse me. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. And let me stop right there. In Christ, in him, we have redemption through his blood. That word for redemption that Paul uses in the Greek is hard to say, but I'll say it. Apolytrosis. Apolytrosis. And it means to loose what is bound, to buy back by payment of a ransom, to liberate by payment of a ransom. Redemption is literally setting a slave free. Back in the Roman Empire, there was tons of slavery. And so one of the things that people could do is pay the debt of the slave, right? There was a price for that slave. So they would pay the slave owner what he wanted for the slave. You buy the slave back and you set him free, right? That was your family member or a close friend. You could actually buy their freedom, redeem them from slavery. Now we know that we have been set free by Jesus, by his sacrifice. But let's look at why Jesus was qualified to be our Redeemer, even according to the Old Testament. Because remember, Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament and to be the sacrifice for us. So he fulfills every prophecy, every law, every prophecy by the prophet, and every law that was in place, Jesus fulfilled. So he was our kinsman redeemer because he met all three qualifications, and that's what we'll look at today, of the Goel. And if you want to learn more about that, you can look at the book of Ruth. It goes into detail about kinsman redeemer back then. Number one, he had to be related to the one needing redemption. So we'll look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 17. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. So, one of the qualifications was he had to be related. So, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Godhead. Jesus is the second person in the Godhead, and the Son stepped out of glory, was born of a virgin, and lived the life you and I were supposed to live. He never sinned in thought, word, or deed. Okay, but he became one of us. People did him dirty. They talked bad about him. He was tempted. All the things that we go through, he went through. So it makes him fully God and fully man. but he had to become fully man so he would be the one, right? Deacon David talked about the lamb without blemish. You know, they had to put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost God would pass over them and not bring death to their house. That was the foreshadowing of what Christ did for us on the cross. No more goats, no more lambs, no more shedding of blood, because when his blood was shed, it was once and for all. The perfect human, he became human, all God, all man, lived a perfect, sinless life, and then died in our place. That's part of the redemption. And I'm going to use the same scripture you used, because number two is he had to be able to pay the price. For in 1 Peter 1:18 through 19 says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." It wasn't, see, our sin nature has been handed down generation after generation from our ancestors. The Adamic nature, the first Adam that we were born under. Christ is the second Adam who fulfilled what Adam, the first Adam, was supposed to fulfill: obedience. Jesus obeyed all the way unto death, even death on the cross. It was purposed for him to do that. And because he was perfect, he's the lamb without blemish for us. That's why he was able to pay that price. If there was any sin in Jesus, it wouldn't have been the atoning sacrifice that we needed. But there was none. Number three, he had to be willing to pay the ransom price. Jesus said this in John chapter 10. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." He's speaking of the Christian Jews and the Gentile Christians coming together. One flock, one shepherd. "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay down my life on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." So he was willing to go and be the payment for our sin. Literally, didn't do anything wrong, but knew out of the obedience of the he knew what he came here to do. It was the plan the whole time. God didn't come up with plan B. It was always plan A. Before anything that was made, you and I were on his mind. The redemption of humanity and those who would put their faith in Christ was on his mind. The plan of Jesus coming, living a perfect sinless life, preaching about the Father, his true heart, and then willingly go to die on the cross. And not just that, but to be the payment for our sin, which just means he received the wrath of the Father upon him. It pleased the Father to pour out his wrath on the Son. because he was perfect. And he did die, but on the third day he rose again. He says, I have authority to take my life back up. He conquered sin, death, and hell for us. We have been redeemed from being slaves to death. Are you still afraid to die? Be honest. You don't have to be. You don't have to be. We're humans, okay? And this is not a dig, but let's keep it real, right? We are so invested in the here and now. We are, because this is what we see, this is what we feel, hear, taste, touch, all the senses. And so, if you are still scared to die, you're not a bad Christian, okay? It's just that you don't have to be afraid. Death is for us to just step into glory. It gets better. It's not something we have to be afraid of anymore, because there is no damnation ahead of us. There's not a chance of us spending eternity in hell, which I would be afraid of. Be very fearful of that. But when you're a child of God, because it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that's how salvation comes. You may not absolutely understand everything about it, but if you have faith that Jesus is the Son of God that became a man and died and rose on the third day, if you just believe that, Lord, you are my Savior, you are my Lord, I believe it, my life for yours. I died in you, Jesus, so I could live in you. You may not understand all of it, but if you believe that in your heart, you don't have to be afraid to die. You're going to step into glory. The only thing that sucks about death is all of us who have to be here to grieve it. Amen? We grieve death because we're eternal beings. We weren't made to be separated, even for a little while. And yet, we're faced with it in this life. So I'm not minimizing death in our lives. I'm just saying, you personally don't have to be afraid. Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You got good days coming, baby. Jesus came to earth from glory to save sinners. This is the glorious grace that he lavished on us. We are undeserving of it. We sin all the time. We blow it all the time. And yet, because of Christ and his perfect blood, that's the blood we are covered by. And God sees us as holy and blameless. Holy and blameless in his sight. That is a lavished amount of grace, just lavished on us. What a loving thing to do. Wow. Right? All the things we think and say and do, they're not perfect, they're not holy. And yet, because of Jesus, he bought us back. We don't have to be afraid of God anymore. Do you know that God saved us from him? He saved us from his wrath. Let's go to, okay, so this is a really long sentence, okay? So I shared 7 and 8. Now I'm going to share 7, 8, and 9. I'm going to kind of go back and read and just kind of add more of the sentence. So that's the way it might sound like I'm repeating myself. 7 through 9 this time. In him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. The word for, he made known to us the mystery. The word for mystery is called mysterion, the Greek word mysterion. And it means a truth undiscoverable except by revelation, a fact which when revealed, we cannot understand in detail, though we can know it and act upon it. The mysteries of God. The mystery of some of the scriptures in the Bible that aren't quite clear. We can trust God. He lets us know that mystery, although we might not understand all of it, we can have faith in it. We can have faith in Him that He's true. And though I might not understand, like I was saying, about all of it, I know I can put faith in Him. I can put faith in His word, and I can act upon it because it's the truth. But He made known to us many, many things. You know, there was ages where, you know, people were waiting for the Messiah and waiting for the Messiah. And He's come now. And He's allowed us to realize that too. There are many who don't believe. Yet we do. That's a gift. Romans chapter 3 verses 21 through 26 says this. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known through Jesus, to which the law and the prophets testify. They prophesied about Him way before He showed up. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption, the buying back that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement. He atoned for our sin with His perfect blood through the shedding of His blood, but to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness because in His forbearance or His patience, He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. See, God is just. There must be a price paid for sin because the wages of sin is what? Death. There's only atonement for sin in the shedding of blood. And all the blood that was shed over all those centuries of trying to connect with God, a sinful man trying to connect with the holy God by direction, would only cover it. Jesus' blood removes our sin completely from the Father's sight. Yes, I say we're covered in His blood, but our sin is removed. He remembers it as far as the east is from the west. It means He doesn't. Thank You, Lord. But there had to be a payment. You see, God didn't go against His holiness, His righteousness and His justness. No, He sent His Son Jesus to pay for that price. There had to be a payment. And that is what's so special about the truth and different than other religions that worship other things. Is that, I mean, if it makes sense, And I'm not trying to prove that the Bible is true. It is true. But it makes sense that there would be a payment for my evil. How's a holy God going to let me into his presence when I'm evil? Oh, the perfect human, Jesus, lived a life I was supposed to live and died in my place. And through my belief in that, in him, but in his actions, and that he rose from the dead because he was perfect, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he prays for me today, in that belief, I'm saved. That's a free gift. That's not too hard. And yet, it's an act of God. Because I've told you guys this before, and I'll probably tell you 100 more times. I was a satanic, idol-worshipping, pagan scumbag. I mean, bad. Not interested in God. I wore the Team Satan 666 shirt to the grocery store because I knew it made you uncomfortable. You know? I wasn't like a sold out Satan worshiper or anything, but I was a sold out Chris Jones worshiper, which is satanic. Amen? Do as thou wilt. That's one of their phrases. Live however you want. Do what feels good. What does our culture try to pump into us all the time? Do what feels good. It's your life. But the truth is, we've died. Chris Jones is dead. When I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, I was asking God, or I was committing, rather, to die on that cross with him. No longer is my life just mine. I don't get to do whatever I want. I prefer to be dead in you, Jesus, so I could live in your resurrected life. And where the Bible never made any sense to me, and it was a bunch of words that really didn't mean anything, have now become words that when I read it, I can feel my soul heal. I can feel my spirit healing. Amen? It was always the plan for Jesus to die in our place, always. Now I'm going to add verse 10. So, in him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. So, God is uniting his people. We live in a world, but it's always been this way, full of division. There's so much division, but there's always been division. There's always been wars. There's always been people fighting and disagreeing and being crazy. But Christ has come to unite the people, the Jewish Christians who were the predestined to be trailblazers. The trailblazers of the faith and the Gentile Christians, us, be one family. Jesus is bringing, the Father is bringing unity under the authority of Jesus. And all things, when the times have reached the fulfillment, When all the Gentiles have made it in the sheepfold, when all of us have been gathered together, that Jesus is coming back. The second coming of Jesus, his return here, and we get our resurrected bodies and we rule and reign on this earth with him for 1,000 years, and then the new heaven and the new earth come and everything is perfect forever. Finally, no more death. We'll never experience death again. We will never get sick again. We will never be sad again. We will never be insecure about ourselves again. Thank you, Jesus. These are the things that we have to look forward to. This is what redemption, the payment for our eternal death. Not only did he save us from the second death, which is real death in hell, apart from God, he saved us from that, but he's bringing unification to us, and we are allowed to live our lives now, drawing off that inheritance, being able to live a life that is unified together. In fact, it's God's will that you and I live in such a way that we promote unity. So let me give you an example. You and I don't agree with everything and everyone, correct? There's a lot of division. There's a lot of people living for themselves, doing what they want, acting how they want. It doesn't line up with the truth. So how do I unify in that? I can still love people and disagree with their lifestyle. I can still love people and disagree with their ideologies. I can still love people because we are called. One, we're called to unify together, to encourage each other, to pray for each other, that we got each other's backs. When life happens, when crazy things happen, we are together. We're one in Christ together. So we laugh together, we cry together, and we grow together. But how do I be the light? How do I be that instrument of unity while having boundaries? I love in the truth, and I stay in the truth. We can disagree with the way things are and what people do, but don't ever let that resentment or that hate that our culture tries to get us to do to each other. Don't hate somebody because of the way they vote. Don't hate somebody because of what they look like. You don't have to hate them. You know what I'm saying? You're not tolerating and agreeing with their choices. You know, that's the Bible says it's sin, it's sin. But don't let those feelings of like hatred or anger or resentment, don't let that stuff inside of you. It's poison. Amen? Okay. Now, finally, new sentence. We'll go to verses 11 and 12. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in the conformity with the purpose of his will. And in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Again, so this is Paul. We talked about this last week, predestination. He's assuring that this has been the plan. We've been predestined. This is Paul talking to the early Christian Jews. We've been predestined, he says, to be the trailblazers of the faith, the ones who have stepped out of Judaism and into Christianity. We know the Old Testament. Jesus has fulfilled the Old Testament, and now we follow him. Now it's grace through faith in Christ and Christ alone. So we'll be the trailblazers, and God's picked us to fulfill his purpose. And God fulfills his purpose with the good and the bad. Everything that happens in our lives has to go through the sovereignty of God. He allows what he allows. He holds back what he holds back. It's not God doing mean things to us. It's all in the plan. There's sin on this earth. Where we're dealing with sinful people, we're going to get hurt. But God's got a plan, and it's called redemption through Christ. It's called eternity with him. It's stacking up spiritual gifts or rewards, if you will, while I walk through life, being in pain, suffering, being attacked, you know, being ridiculed for my faith, walking in such a way that I'm confident in Christ. I mean, I'm not going to lie. You know, when who wants to get made fun of, or who wants to be rejected because you're a Christian, or because, you know, you're always just posting Christian stuff, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But that, get ready. Because if you're bold in your faith, if you're really all that, like really living for Jesus, people are going to reject you. You're going to have friends that don't call you anymore. Be ready for that. And it will hurt. But you can keep your eyes on the prize. God is good. He's got a plan. And it'll work out for his glory. And you will be blessed in it for sure. Amen. So then he talks about us in verses 13 and 14. And you also, that's us, who are included in Christ, when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the good news of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. This is a beautiful, meaty couple scriptures here. The word for believed is pisteuo. I don't know how to pronounce it, but whatever. It means belief that affects intellectually, but also transforms the heart, resulting in a change of conduct and direction. When you believed the message of the gospel, did anything change? Did your life change? Did anything change inside of you? Because really believing the message of Jesus can't, it will change you. It begins to change your heart. And this is why I keep pounding, and I will continue to do this, reading your Bible. And I know that some of you are like, Pastor Chris, I don't like to read. I get it. But this isn't a religious duty. We find out the truth when we understand it. And the truth sets us free. And it's the Holy Spirit himself that helps us understand that. We begin to hear God's voice. because I'm investing time in the Word, my mind is getting renewed, my heart is getting purified, and my spirit is getting healed and fed. So it makes me strong, right? That's why we go to Bible studies, or, you know, we position our lives to make time for God. That's why. It brings us to a place where I'm conscious. I'm conscious that I'm a child of God. I'm conscious that I've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus and that I am redeemed. There is atonement for my sins. So I'm not condemned by them. Do I get convicted by them? Absolutely. But I repent, dust myself off, and I keep heading towards Jesus because we're forgiven. And when we walk in that hope and that freedom of being forgiven, we add value to the people around us. We add value to our bosses or our coworkers. We add value to the atmosphere of wherever we step in because we're walking in freedom, baby. We're walking in the truth, and we have love to share. We have hope to share. We have good news. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So kings back then would seal like letters and things by putting wax on it and pressing their signet ring into it, and it would seal it. And that's kind of a picture of what has happened to us when we give our life to, when we believed, we were marked in Christ with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a deposit. And that word for deposit is arabon. And it means a down payment with a guarantee of receiving the full amount. Hallelujah. I mean, God, there is proof. And this is the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit too. I love you, Holy Spirit. Is that nobody can talk me out of my faith. You can blah, blah, blah. You can try to discount whatever you want about the Bible, about Christ being is who he says he is, about all that. And I'll be like, no, I know. I know him. He lives in me. The third person of the Godhead lives in me. He is the down payment of my faith. He's the down payment of our guaranteed inheritance into heaven. We are going to make it to heaven. No devil in hell, no man on earth can rip our salvation from us. Amen. Hallelujah. So he's the deposit. And I mean, what a blessing to know. I never deserved this, you guys. I deserved hell. And yet, he had grace on you and me. At our worst. And here we are today, sitting together under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, under his anointed word. We're communing as an assembly in his presence. Talking about his truth. What a beautiful thing that he's done for us. What a beautiful thing Jesus did for us. And what a faithful thing to do, to put in a human being, because we're forgetful, right? Somebody's going to ask you tomorrow, what did the pastor preach about? You'll be like, oh, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Right? But he put the Holy Spirit in us. You'll never forget him. You'll never forget that he lives in you. I mean, he's that deposit it's like God proved. It's like he stamped me and I could never be the same. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that convicts us when we need convicting. Because we forget. We're leaky. We get caught up in the culture. We get caught up in this. Our own flesh goes, you need to feed me. It's been a while. All that stuff. The Holy Spirit is there to go, hey, little small voice, hey, I love you. You're mine. Don't look at that. Don't say that. Repent. Make it right. Spend time with me. That little small voice. Because it is. It's through the blaring voice of our culture. God still speaks to us. We just need to be obedient. When he does, do what he says. It'll make your life better. It will. But he's guaranteeing us that our life will be better in the next one. We're eternally with him. And Jesus said this in John 14. If you love me, keep my commands. Basically, do what I say. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you. That's the Holy Spirit. And be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. For he lives with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you'll see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Unity. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Guys, what a beautiful thing for Jesus to say to us. These are eternal words that are locked in. I'm living, breathing this promise. Just hang on to me, Jesus says. I won't steer you wrong. I will come again to get you, but until then I've sent you a deposit. The Holy Spirit who will guide and keep you, lead you in the way you should go. I'm at the right hand of the Father praying for you, and I will be back to get you. Have no fear. I will be back to get you, says the Lord. We've been redeemed, but have yet to receive our full inheritance, our redeemed glorified bodies. Until then, the Holy Spirit will teach us, protect us, convict us, encourage us, and guide us. So we're finally home. Amen? So I don't want to end a service without giving people an opportunity. Talked a lot about the gospel. Redemption through the atonement of blood and the blessing of Christ, the perfect life lived for us. And see, we pray a prayer, but it's not the prayer that saves you. It's you surrendering to God. It starts with a prayer. So maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. Maybe you've said the prayer before, but you know, man, today you just got rocked and convicted and you haven't been living the way you should. Let's just rededicate your life to him. Remember, I told you it's about saying, I trade my life for yours. You died for me in my place, so I'm giving you my life. Therefore, I'm dead in you, Jesus. My life is no longer my own, but I'm asking you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and guide me so that I can bless you with my life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus or you want to rededicate your life, I want to pray with you. Just raise your hand. Amen. I see your hand. Amen. Amen. I see your hand. Okay, let's pray this prayer together. Church, you help us out. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son, Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. So I ask you, come into my heart, come into my life and change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. I thank you for your forgiveness. I turn from my sin and I turn to you. Today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, thank you for your people. Shine your face on your people this week as they go. Holy Spirit, remind all of us that we've been redeemed by the Most High, that we are yours, we are blessed, and you see us as holy and blameless. So fill us with your love. Fill us with your joy and your peace as we go. Glorify you, of course, Lord. You are worthy. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, see you next week. Remember, 10-10.